So I chose a verse from the sixth canto. The chapter is entitled, Yamaraj Instructs His Messengers. And there's a whole series of verses in this section on the holy name and the importance and glories of the holy name. This is verse number 26. Okay. Sure you can all read that? Evam Rishimya Sudiyo Bhagavantyanandhe.
Evam Rishimya Sudiyo Bhagavantyanandhe.
Sarvatmanam Vidatate Kalu Bhava Yogam.
Sarvatmanam Vidatate Kalu Bhava Yogam.
Tame Nadanda Harayata Yaryamisam. Satpatakam tadapi hanta urugaya vadaha.
Satpatakam tadapi hanta urugaya vadaha.
Evam. Thus. Vimrishya.
Considering.
Sudhya.
Those whose
intelligence
is sharp.
Bhagavati, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anante, the Unlimited, Sarva Atmana, with all their heart and soul, Vidadate, take to, Kalu, indeed, Bhava Yogam, the process of devotional service. Te, such persons, may, my, na, not, dandam, punishment, arhati, deserve, ata, therefore, yadi, if, hamisam, of them, shat, there is, patakam, some sinful activity, tat, that, api, also, hanti, destroys, urugaya vadaha, the chanting of the holy name of the Supreme Lord. Translation, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So this is a continuation of a narration by Yamaraj. They have just come back from trying to take the soul of Ajamil, and they have been thwarted and frustrated in their attempt. They can't understand why. And now, after coming back, they are exposing and revealing their minds to Yamaraj. We thought you were the greatest. Everything you tell us is the highest. We were doing our duty. What happened? So Yamaraj goes on to explain that there is somebody greater than me. And if those who chant his name actually become free from the influence of me, and those who chant with complete, what we say, detachment of all material desires, actually become purified automatically. So this was the case of Ajamil. Now, Yamaraj is explaining the glories of the holy name. And this is one of the verses in the series. And he says in this verse, considering all these points, therefore, intelligent men decide to solve all problems by adopting the devotional service of chanting the holy names of the Lord. So here, to solve all problems by chanting Hare Krishna. Does that make sense? For some it does, for others it's, we like it, but we don't fully agree with it. But this is the verse. This is given by Yamaraj. Yamaraj is a Mahajan. What is a Mahajan? He's one of the 12 authorized personalities who are can teach the principles of eternal. He can teach eternal religious principles. He teaches Bhakti Yoga in the position of an authority. He is an Acharya, and he's also very, very powerful. So he's saying that all problems are solved simply by chanting the holy names of the Lord. And then he goes on to say, and that person whose name you're chanting is situated in everyone's heart, and who is a mine, that means a storehouse of all auspicious qualities. Such persons are never within my jurisdiction for punishment. Generally, they never commit sinful activities, but even if by mistake or because of some bewilderment or illusion, they sometimes commit sinful activities, they are protected from sinful reactions because they always chant the Hare Krishna mantra. So now he goes on to give a complete understanding of why the glories of the holy name are the pinnacle or the highest form of freedom from all material entanglement and all material reactions. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes the following verse from the prayers of Lord Brahma. This is from Bhagavatam 10.14.29. Atapi de deva pudambuja dvayam prasaralesa nugrahita evahi janari tadvam bhagavan mahim naum na chanya eko pichiran vijanvan. The purport is that even though one is very learned scholar of the Vedic Shastras, he may be completely unaware of the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his name, fame, qualities, and so on. Therefore, whereas one who is not a great scholar can understand the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if he somehow or other becomes a pure devotee of the Lord by engaging in devotional service. Therefore, this verse spoken by Yamaraj says, Evam vifrimsya sudiyo bhagavati. Those who engage in the loving service of the Lord become sudiya, intelligent. But this is not so of a Vedic scholar who does not understand Krishna's names, fame, and qualities. A pure devotee is one whose intelligence is clear. He is truly thoughtful because he engages in the service of the Lord, not as a matter of show, but with love, with his mind, word, and body. Non-devotees make a show of religion, but is not very effective because although they ostentatiously attend a temple or church, they are thinking of something else. Such persons are neglecting their religious duties and are punishable by Yamaraj. But a devotee who commits sinful acts, which he may do unwillingly or accidentally because of his former habits, is excused. That is the value of the Sankirtan movement. So, this verse makes the devotees feel happy. It's one of these happy verses, in the sense that it shows how merciful the holy name is. It says there are two aspects. There is the one who is named and he who is the name. The name, Nam and Nami. One who is being named and one who is actually the name. So both are absolute and both are the same. But one has a certain element that the other doesn't have. Although both are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, fully in all manifestations of his energies and qualities, still the name has a certain element that the person who is being named doesn't usually exhibit, but exhibits through the name. So here's the way to approach that person who is most merciful, but cannot be approached directly through any other way but through his name. So therefore, in that name, that even if one somehow or other who performs devotional service and is regularly chanting the holy name, we have a tendency sometimes due to circumstance. It's usually due to circumstance to somehow or other make a mistake or regress back to some of our former materialistic tendencies or habits or just parts of our character that is still there very strongly and causes us to make a mistake or even commit an offense. It says that, but because one is chanting the holy names of the Lord and has made devotional service their path of enlightenment, then it's excused. It's excused. Provided that they accept it in that way. What does that mean? That one somehow or other, although they, just like sometimes, and Prabhupada would give the example, he says, maybe before you became a devotee, you liked to smoke cigarettes. And so now you meet some of your old friends you haven't seen in a long time, and now you're a devotee and they're still doing what they're doing. And so they're happy to see you and you start catching up on, you know, your friendship. And they say, here, have a cigarette. Jai Sisi Panchatattva Ki Jai. And you, somehow or other, knowing it's wrong, but still, because of the inclination of the past, and to somehow or other be part of the social environment where you find yourself in, you take it. So in other words, you made a mistake, you committed an offense, you transgressed religious principles. But then, the devotee thinks, oh, I shouldn't have did that, but I did. Right? Have you ever had experiences like after something happens immediately, not just like in the future, but immediately, why did I do that? Why did I say that? It happens. It's just force of habit or circumstance, just like. And those tendencies are imprints on our karmic collection that have been there for many, many lives. And so sometimes mostly it's due to circumstance. You're put in a situation where these things manifest again. And because whatever reason, either you're not strong enough in your spiritual life, or you somehow fall victim to the social environment just to be part of it, you make a mistake. You commit an offense. So this verse is saying, never mind. Apichet churacharo bhajate anyanan nibak sadhu eva samanta bhyak vyavyasa hiso hisa. This is a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. It's probably one of the most important verses for devotees to understand the deep meaning of this particular verse, because we do make mistakes. Sometimes we slip, we even break a regulative principle. But devotees don't do that on purpose. Now, doing it on purpose, there's a whole other realm of existence where if you know something is wrong and you still want to do it because you think, oh, the holy name is so merciful, therefore, I know it can. It says in the Shastras that by chanting the holy names, all of one's sinful activities accumulated for millions of lifetimes can be destroyed by the power of one pure chanting, of not of a mantra, but of one name of Krishna. That's how powerful it is, if it's done purely. So a devotee might think, oh, well, you know, I want to catch up on some of those things that I used to do. And so we go out and we just try to enjoy again. And then what happens is that the idea, oh, now I'll chant the holy names of the Lord and then I'll be free from the reactions of that activity. No. When things are done intentionally with the idea of getting relieved from the activity, that is called the seventh offense on the chanting of the holy name. Nam nam bala hi papabudhi. That is considered to be a very dangerous offense if one knows. But this verse is not saying that. This verse is saying that if one somehow or other, due to circumstance, slips or finds himself doing something out of habit or whatever, then never mind. Just get back in devotional service. We've seen sometimes devotees, when they slip and they fall, they feel really bad. So what do? They go away. And they try to hide from the association of devotees, thinking this is the way to, be relieved, or and look for some other shelter. But actually, it's just prolonging the rectification problem, and sometimes it actually causes it to not happen at all. So therefore, a devotee sometimes thinks, oh, it's too hard to associate with devotees. They put too much demands on you. You know, you have to be humble. You have to be tolerant. You have to be patient. And you have to hang out with people who have different personalities. And sometimes you don't even understand what they're talking about because they're from a different culture and country. Yeah. So, you know, get a little space here, you know. But the association of devotees is so powerful that when one somehow or other finds themselves in a situation where whatever has happened, one comes back, engages in devotional service, prays to the Lord, "My dear Lord, I slipped, please don't let me slip again. Please give me protection against..." This is a very powerful thing. This is very, very powerful. If you know you have a tendency to slip in a certain way, because, you know, people do. We have maybe this little attraction to Maya in a certain way. Pray to the Lord, "My dear Lord, protect me against that." And sincere prayers actually work. And even if you want to do it, Krishna will stop you. You know, he'll make an arrangement where it won't happen if you sincerely pray. So a devotee wants that, wants to take shelter of the Krishna in any circumstance and pray for the Lord's mercy. Because material energy is powerful, very powerful. It's hard to become pure devotee of the Lord. It's a very difficult struggle. Why? Because of the material energy is almost insurmountable. It's so powerful. And it says even Krishna wanted to show how powerful his material energy is by his own example. Where when he was in Vrindavan, of course the material energy cannot touch Vrindavan, but Prabhupada Krishna used a little bit of an example just to teach how something is and how powerful the material energy is. So there was one demon, his name was Agasura. Agasura was sent by Kamsa to kill Krishna and destroy the cowherd boys. Of course, he came into Vrindavan, and he was a snake, huge snake. In fact, he was so huge that when he opened his mouth, it was 8 miles from the bottom of his lip to the top of his upper lip. Wow. Can you imagine that? Planes don't even fly that high. So 8 miles. He was a huge. Now, he knows Krishna's powerful because Krishna has killed killed Bakasura, his brother, killed Paputana, his sister. He's killed. Krishna's been, you know, dispatching these demons one after another. Krishna likes to do that, you know, because it's like a little side thing to do. You know, you have a hobby. Krishna's hobby is killing demons. And they get benefit, of course. This is Krishna. So he likes to do that. And so they come, and then now Krishna is doing something, and he's not paying attention to what the cowherd boys are doing. So the demon comes, opens his mouth. Why? He wants to attract the cowherd boys and Krishna into the mouth because it looks like a cave. And in Vrindavan, there's so many nice caves to play in. So the boys want to play. So Krishna likes that. So he opens his mouth, and then the boys say, "Oh, look, there's a cave." No, another boy says, "No, no, it's a demon." "Doesn't matter, Krishna's here. He'll save us." So they're looking around this way, and finally they all run into the mouth of Agasura. Now Agasura doesn't close his mouth because he's waiting for Krishna to come in. Now all of a sudden Krishna notices what happens, and when he looks, it says that Krishna became what? Bewildered. Yeah, it's mentioned in the narrations by the Acharya. Krishna became bewildered. He saw this powerful demon, and now how can Krishna become bewildered? He can't. But he was exhibiting a certain leela just to show how powerful material energy is, that he could even bewilder me. Can't, but using himself as the example, he wanted to show. And so, of course, Krishna later on, ran into the demon's mouth, and then when the demon closed his mouth, Krishna just burst through the top of his head, and the demon was died. His soul went up to the sky, and it floated there, and then finally the soul was floating in the sky and went right into the body of Krishna. That demon was special. Most demons get what they call suhuja mukti. That means they merge into the body of the demons. But this demon got Sarupya Mukti. It's special. It's mentioned. He was quite exemplary. Somehow or other, when Krishna entered his mouth, he thought of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He meditated on Krishna's form just for a flash of a second. And because he did that, he actually got a birth in his next life in a transcendental realm where he had the same bodily features of the Lord. Wow, how merciful Krishna is. Imagine. Sometimes people think, I ought to be a demon because I can get a lot of benefit. No, don't try it. It doesn't work like that. But the point is, and this is what we want to emphasize, is how powerful material energy is. How one can be bewildered by the material energy. One can see or a sense object and think, "I'm going to enjoy that." Right? Have you had that experience? Have you not had it? So this is called Maya. What is not? Because sense objects are not enjoyable, because they are simply an attraction to whatever desires we have in our heart. And they're manifested in the form of these objects. Form, taste, smell, touch, the various objects of the senses, and the mind's creation of happiness based on the experiences of, "Oh, that looks like I can enjoy that," right? Well, that's illusion. That's called Maya. Therefore, sometimes devotees fall victim to try to enjoy something material. And what happens? You don't get the enjoyment, you get the kick, that's all. Because material energy works in such a way that when you try to enjoy the material energy captures you and forces you to suffer by the reactions of your attempt to enjoy. That's just the way the material energy works. But still, because the senses and mind are very strong, sometimes it says that devotees make a mistake and they slip and they try to enjoy something, and sometimes they try to enjoy the wrong thing, which comes into the category of very sinful activities. "I know she's another person's wife, but I don't care." Something like that. Or "I know, you know, I..." What would be a good example? You guys all know. Tell me one. would be something that I want to enjoy and I know I shouldn't, but still I can't help it. What is it?
Money.
Money is the honey, right? So much bees, but bees hang around the honey too, and bees sting. So yeah, money is called Lakshmi, and Lakshmi belongs to Narayan. So when Lakshmi is used in the service of Narayan, it brings great happiness and prosperity in one's life. When Lakshmi is used to enjoy senses and mind and the intelligence in different ways, it entraps one in a reaction of sinful and what we say suffering reaction. And this is how the material energy works. Therefore, taking shelter of the holy name of the Lord is the panacea. Prabhupada would use that word panacea. Panacea means something that covers everything. If there's here, it even says here, it says in this verse, it says, intelligent men decide to solve all problems by adopting the devotional service of chanting the holy names of the Lord. All problems. Doesn't say most problems, says all problems. Therefore, if we're practicing chanting more and more, we won't even have problems. And even if they come, they'll be so insignificant. Why? That is the holy name not only protects one against the reactions of sinful activities, but gives one the intelligence to avoid further sinful activities. When you chant your rounds nicely every day, you have a clear vision on how to execute your devotional service that day. It becomes clear. Why? Because the mind becomes what we call expansive. Because the holy name expands intelligence, awareness, clarity, everything. So this is when we chant the holy names of the Lord, we can see Maya coming. Have you ever had that experience? Uh-oh, here comes Maya. What did, I know a lot of ladies are named Maya in this country, so it has nothing to do with that. I saw this big sign yesterday when we were driving here, and it was this, you know, I try not to look at too many things, but there was this lady, she was, and it had her name, Maya. I said, perfect. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, so Maya comes in different forms. What is Maya? Maya means that which makes you think you can be happy, but actually you can't. And it's a form of illusion, that's all. So by chanting the holy names of the Lord, you can say, there's Maya. I'm going to stay away from that. Or Krishna will protect me. So the holy name is everything. It's the panacea for all preventative forms of falling in and reactions for previous sinful activities. And if somehow one commits, whatever due to circumstance or whatever, then the holy name is so merciful. So therefore one should chant Satatam Kirtayantam Mam. This is the recommendation by the Acharyas. As we read and study Srila Prabhupada's words, he very strongly emphasizes the chanting of the holy names as the means for all success in Krishna consciousness. Why do we do so many other things? Why do we read the books? Why do we do active services? Why do we worship the deity? Why do we take prasadam? Why do we do all the other activities of devotional service? So you can purify yourself to chant Hare Krishna. They help bring about a stage of purification where we can approach the holy name with sincere devotion. Sincere devotion means that when we're chanting, we should be praying to the holy name to bestow the mercy of the holy name upon us as we're chanting the holy names of the Lord. Then the holy name becomes very, very much prominent. If we're chanting just as a mechanical way, more because we're chanting because we are told to chant, this is our requirement, that's okay. You'll get some benefit from that. But you'll get the complete benefit when it's done from a position of submission. My dear Lord, I've fallen into this ocean of material suffering, and everywhere I look, there's more and more opportunities to suffer. So please save me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And it becomes so nice. And actually, one will develop a taste, a ruchi, sweet taste for chanting. Once we develop that sweet taste, then it doesn't matter. You can chant anywhere, and whoever's chanting the holy name in kirtan, it's nice. It doesn't matter who's chanting or what musical expertise is there, because it's the holy name. This is a certain stage of bhakti. As we progress, it's called ruchi. Ruchi means sweet taste. There's two kinds of ruchi, two categories of how ruchi works, is that there are two categories of people who have reached the stage of ruchi. Adau strada sadhu sangha bhajana kriya anartha nivritti asha, nishta. And then ruchi. Ruchi is on the verge of Raganuga Bhakti. It's bringing us to Raganuga Bhakti. And in that stage, there are two categories of taste. One is called excellence of elements, and one is called without excellence of elements. So one is higher than the other, but both have the same similar characteristics. And what is that? That whatever the holy name is being chanted, it's wonderful. And then there's another one, is that the holy name has to be chanted in a certain way with musical expertise and nice, and what we say, you know, instruments to support it. Then I get the taste. My taste is dependent on the instruments and the singing. And then there's those who don't, who have it, they're even a little higher, that it's the holy name, there's the taste there. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, and sometimes he would lead kirtan, and he couldn't sing at all. Although he was the greatest of all Vaishnav scholars, and he was, you know, his intelligence was way beyond all. He's one of the Paramacharyas. He has revolutionized the whole process of bhakti in such a way that he's gone deeper into the mellows of Lord Chaitanya's teachings and has taken it into higher and higher stages of realization. But when he used to sing, he couldn't. He didn't have the voice. He just, you know, his voice wasn't so melodious. But when he would sing, everybody would love it because he had such bhakti. It didn't matter. So we have a taste, but if we become attached to chanting in any and every circumstances, then Krishna's mercy manifests in so many wonderful ways. Because Krishna knows, oh, this person wants to chant, and they're not chanting. I'll remind them, hey, you want to chant, right? Hey, okay, here. You're supposed to be chanting. Get with it, you know? So Krishna does that sometimes. He reminds us, you know, okay, you should be chanting now. Oh, yeah. Or something will go wrong and you'll say, Hare Krishna. Oh, yeah, I should be chanting this. Something went wrong because I didn't chant Hare Krishna. That's why. So nothing can go wrong. And everything is always right when one is situated in the holy name. But that's not the goal. The goal is to purify the heart. And the heart is purified more and more when we become absorbed in chanting the holy names of the Lord. Satatam kirtayantam mam. And therefore, a devotee is always in association with Krishna by chanting the holy name. Sometimes devotees think, oh, I'm alone. I wish I had some association. Krishna is always there. He's always there. He's always in the heart of his devotee. As soon as we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. It seems so simple. It seems so, what we say, what is the word? Intellectually astute, right? Because anybody can chant. But Lord Chaitanya has made it the Yuga Dharma, and he's empowered everything in the holy name. Lord Chaitanya, when he was, right after he took sannyas, he was wandering through different areas. And he came to one area where it was hardly anyone was chanting. And as he was walking and going, he was on his way to Jagannath Puri. He couldn't find anyone chanting. And Lord Chaitanya became so unhappy. What is this place? No one's chanting. No one's chanting. No one's chanting. Finally, there were two little cowherd boys. They were tending to their cows. And they were chanting while they were taking care of their cows. Lord Chaitanya ran up to them and said, "Who are you?" They introduced themselves. He said, "You are the best of all scholars. You're chanting Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. You made me feel so happy." Because when you chant, Lord Chaitanya becomes happy. He becomes happy just by your chanting. So this is a way to please the Lord, simply by kirtan or by japa, any form. Because the Lord came just to make sure that we would understand how to make progress in devotional service. Here it is another point which is important. Sometimes people come to religion just to make some show. They come for other reasons and they don't change. To come to Krishna consciousness, one can come for whatever reason. You can come because you're suffering, and most people do. You can come if you want some money. Sometimes they think, if I disengage in devotional service, I'll get some intelligence and then I'll know how to make some money. And people come to sometimes, I need a husband. And they're all bums out there, but these religious guys are a little better. So I'll go and look for a husband in that area. ladies, it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's fine. And men also might think, "I find a nice chaste lady, and you know, she prays very nicely." So yeah, but these are not the goal. Obviously, they may attract one to a religious environment, but then again, if one keeps that mood after practicing for some time, then they are making a show of religion, as it's mentioned here. And show means that there's another motivation. What is the motivation? We want to go back to Godhead. We don't want to stay in this place. I remember when I was, before I joined the movement, there was one rock and roll song. "We gotta get out of this place. It's the last thing we ever do." You remember that song? It's way beyond. If you're not in the 60s and by age, it's the last thing we ever do. Yeah. What does that mean? The material world, not out of the association of devotees. That's a whole different thing. When you're in the association of devotees, when you're in the temple, when you're engaged in devotional service, you're not in the material world. You're in the spiritual energy. And as you practice Krishna consciousness, you create more and more that environment of the spiritual realm. But the material world is there. As soon as you step outside in that energy out there, it hits you. And it's hit you very hard. And so, this place, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati used to say, no place for a gentleman, gentle lady. Not a safe place. Padam padam ya vi padam. At any moment, Prabhupada was giving a walk, morning walk in Denver, Colorado, in the USA. And they were walking through this beautiful park, and Prabhupada was pointing out all the nice arrangements with the flowers and the trees, and he was But he said at one point, he said, the material world is such that any moment the whole situation could be changed. There could be fire and there could be war. Everything could be changed. He said, in a second. This is the nature of the material world. So if we think it's a nice place, Prabhupada said, anybody who thinks this place is nice, kick him. To remind him, it's not. The kick is a reminder. So, yeah, the point is that devotees want to go back to Krishna. And therefore, the process is to chant the holy names of the Lord and to serve the Vaishnavas. These are the essence of the Krishna conscious practice. And as long as we stay within these two realms and try to cultivate these two things, how to serve devotees in the best possible way and how to chant more and more the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then you have gotten the essence of the whole process right in these two things. You have to have both. You can't chant the holy names without serving Vaishnavas. The holy names won't let you. And you can, if you just serve Vaishnavas and you have no attraction for the holy name, the process is very, very, very slow. So both, these are the two things that Lord Chaitanya emphasized, these things above everything else. Vaishnav Seva and Nam Ruchi, like that. So being in that mood means being in the proper spiritual consciousness like that. And even if there's some slip due to past bad habits, circumstances or whatever, never mind, it's not serious. Prabhupada said, it's third class to fall down, it's first class to get back up. Don't stay down. Get back up and simply again chant the holy names of the Lord, and in due course of time, it's like it never happened. It's like it's never. So this is a process of mercy. And the mercy manifests itself in the association of devotees and in chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. We look forward to chanting. But don't look forward to chanting. Chant always, all the time, and then you don't have to look forward to it because you're always doing it. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. He's over there, right there. Yeah. Okay.
Hare Krishna. You spent quite some time explaining how holy name and prayer is effective.
Very effective.
To prevent accidental fall down.
Yeah.
And you also mentioned association of devotees. But I felt a little bit that kind of was out of this same context, but association of devotees, is it equally important if you want to prevent future accidental fall down?
Yeah. Association of devotees is a protective element because Krishna works through his devotees. So whatever you need in your spiritual life, either some correction or some inspiration or the opportunity to serve, it's all there in the association of devotees. You get correction in association of devotees too. Sometimes we don't like that, but that's also healthy. We want to get corrected sometimes. So that's there. So sadhu sangha sarva sastri hoy, lava matta sadhu sange sarva siddhi hoy. Just one, the word lava matta is interesting because it means 1/11th of a second. You're going to divide a second into 11 parts. The verse says, even in the association of devotees for 1/11th of a second, one can be freed from all reactions of all sinful activities. So how does that work? I've been in an association of devotees for a long time, and it's not like that. I'm not. Yeah. But Prabhupada gives the understanding. When the wood is wet, it catches fire. It won't catch fire. When the wood is dry, it immediately catches fire. Staying in the association of devotee means drying out. Means drying out. Drying out from our material tendencies. And at one point, when we become dry enough, that fire of that association immediately purifies our consciousness. So it's a process. So just stay in association of devotees and chant, and try to serve the devotees in the best way you can. To be in association of devotees means to think how to serve the devotees. Of course, there's many ways we do. We do it naturally through the functions, but just thinking, how can I serve the devotees? What can I do? That would be nice. If you see a devotee in need or whatever, you can think, oh, let me see if I can do something to help that devotee. That's one way. So, did I answer your question? Not completely yet.
Yeah, I think you did, yes.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Yes, Radhavinodini. Where's our mic runner? He was just here a minute ago. Where did he go? He's retired. Okay.
Thank you very much. I had this experience when the cause of sinful activity is anger, because it can result Vaishnava aparat even, and it's really serious. But the problem was that due to this anger, even my chanting became much worse, because my mind was totally covered. And what can we do in this case?
When you find yourself becoming angry and you don't want to be angry, or you reacted to a situation, you became angry, and now you can't get rid of the anger?
Yes.
Well, the antidote for anger, as mentioned in the Shastra, is forgiveness. If something or someone, even yourself, if you get angry at yourself, forgive yourself. Because we make mistakes too. Everyone makes mistakes. So anger may come, but if you hold on to it, then it'll, what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Dayato vishayam pumsam tesu sangha sajayate, tesu sangha sajayate kama kama krodha. Bijayate krodha bhavati sammohan sammoham shriti vi brahma. Shriti Brahmsa Bodhisanasa Bodhinasa Pranashati. So by contemplating the objects of the senses, one becomes overwhelmed with lust. From lust comes anger. From anger becomes bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material energy. So anger covers your intelligence. And therefore, in order to execute devotional service, it requires clear intelligence. Right. And so, therefore, how to dissipate the element of anger? Practice forgiveness. That is the recommended way. But sometimes if it becomes too much, go speak to another devotee and say, this is my situation, can you help me get over this? That's one of the reasons why we take association with devotees. We can confide in them and we're having trouble, and they can help. Many times the devotees can help when we can't, you know, do it ourselves. That's another way. Yeah. Any other questions? Okay.
Krishna, sometimes we realize that due to our daily duties, our chanting of the holy names becomes like dried up. So how to avoid these situations?
Chant before you do your daily duties. Make chanting the first thing in the day, and then your daily duties will be nice, or you'll be able to do them with clarity and enthusiasm. We say 16 rounds a day, but that doesn't mean the late night japa club. You know, you just, you know, you do everything. Okay, it's 9 o'clock at night, and I got 14 rounds to go. Okay, Krishna, here I come. Krishna said, "I'm going to bed. You can go and you can do it." That's not the idea. You need to chant early. Prabhupada makes a point. He said, if you haven't finished your 16 rounds, you should know that at any moment you can be victimized by Maya. There's a certain element of protection that comes by fulfilling your numerical vow. When you finish your 16 rounds, you are given extra protection by the Maha Mantra against the effects of the material energy. Why? Because the spiritual master has asked you to do that. And because you fulfill that vow, you pleased him. And therefore, by pleasing him, you get that mercy. Yeah. So we shouldn't think, oh, the day has 24 hours and 16 rounds. I can fit it in there somewhere. I've been doing for the last 2 years, chanting 16 rounds before I do anything. Unless it's an emergency and I can't, because there's something that has to be done at that time. But I make sure I get up early enough to finish 16 rounds. And then I don't have to, I gotta squeeze it in here. Right? You're trying to squeeze it in, but then you squeeze out Krishna. So it's not the idea is that we can focus nicely on our service throughout the day when we complete our numerical vows early. And you'll see there's a whole difference in your Krishna consciousness when you start making the chanting the first thing in the morning. Yes, Prabhu.
There was a situation where Srila Prabhupada answered 20 rounds without stop. And what was the question?
He said chant 16 rounds without doing anything else, without stopping. He knew that if you do that, you have to force yourself to go deeper into the chanting. If you chant 2 or 3 rounds here and there, and then do 4 rounds there, 3 rounds there, like that. But if you're thinking, all right, 16 rounds, I'm going to really get into it. I'm going to really enjoy it. This is nice. 16 rounds, whoa. If you have that attitude and you want to make those rounds nice, then 16. Or Prabhupada said, when you're actually chanting 16, you're actually chanting your rounds, you'll say, why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000? Yeah. You get a taste. You want to develop a taste, you have to somehow or other bring that mind into concentrated chanting. Work on it. Just go for it. There's nothing else to do at that time.
On the other hand, when he was a grihastha, he said that he chanted 4 rounds in the morning, 4 before every prasad.
Because he had so many grihastha duties. He was a manager of a chemical firm. Prabhupada had 5 children. And he had a family. He had a lot of things going. So, he did it because of his responsibilities like that. And he said, if that's the situation, this is one way to look at it. But that's concessionary. It's not the, what we say, the principle due to circumstance. Yes, there was a question over here. ¿Qué pasa? Okay.
Is I want to ask about how I can increase my jivadaya.
Increase your jivadaya? Compassion to the other living entities? Well, the nature of the soul is that it loves Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhu Kabunai Savanari Siddhi Chitte Kodiye Udoi. In the hearts of everyone, every living entity, everyone has pure love for Krishna. It's there. You don't have to get it from anyone else or anywhere else. It's there. And Krishna means his parts and parcels. So when one actually loves Krishna, one actually loves everything connected with Krishna. That means everything. And especially the living entities. So we can understand that love for others, which who are parts and parcels of Krishna, is also natural for the soul's existence. It's natural. So how to exhibit that? Think of ways to show mercy to others. Create ways or think of ways or join programs that are doing that. And then you can also be a part of that. If you give people transcendental knowledge by distributing books or by preaching Krishna consciousness, that's compassion. Because that's what they need. They need that mercy. They need Krishna's mercy. So if you give that, that's compassion. If you distribute prasadam to living entities, that's compassion. So think of different ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maharaj, and what is the relation with Namaruchi?
Complete. As you get a taste for chanting, you also get a taste for service. And service extends itself out to preaching or to reaching out to others. Like that. To give Krishna consciousness to others or to attract a person to become more Krishna conscious is the greatest act of charity. Why? Because this is what will save them from suffering. This is what will help them in understanding that if I want to be happy, here's where I can find it. Yeah. So think how to do good to others. Like that. And it says the happiest people are the people who are serving others, even in the material world. And people who are very, what we say, philanthropic or very charitable in nature, they spend a lot of time, you know, doing things for others, you know, maybe feeding the poor, opening hospitals, or doing some welfare work like that. That's the nature of the soul, is to be kind. And out of the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava, the first one is kindness to other living entities. So how does that manifest? It manifests by giving people a chance to come closer to Krishna. Or just saying something nice to someone to make them feel good. Like that. I remember I had a really nice experience, and it was a really simple event. I was walking inside, I was going into Bhaktivedanta Manor, and I was opening the door to go into the hallway, and there was this man, he was coming, he had both arms full of prasadam, and there was two kids hanging on to him, and he was heading for the door. So I just held the door open for him. And he was so happy. And I was more happy than he was. I think, wow, I did some service. I was so happy because he was so happy. So I was just thinking, you know, I just held the door open, and that's what he needed the most at the time. If I would have told him to chant Hare Krishna, he would have thought, come on, get practical, you know. I gotta get through the door. I got two kids and a handful of prasadam. So, you know, it made me feel so good just to hold the door open for him. So, you know, these little things, and sometimes they're looked at as ordinary day-to-day things that we come across. But actually, when we do it amongst devotees, it's nice. It shows respect. It shows attention. You know, so like that. Prabhupada would be walking on a morning walk, and he would see somebody. He would say, good morning, how are you? And the person would say, thank you, I'm fine. And Prabhupada would walk on. So ordinary parlance or etiquette is actually, you know, for a devotee, because when it's done by a devotee, it has some spiritual energy to it. So we can think of different ways. Okay, so today is Harinam. And I was told there's 10,000 people in the park today. Well, there's a big local event. I don't know exactly what the event is, but so devotees get ready for Harinam. And there's that great opportunity to benefit the living entities. Okay, I'm being told to stop right now. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.